My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's now Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. During his military career of some 36 years, General Boykin served as an original member of the Delta Force. He also commanded the Army's Green Berets, and he also served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And he joins me now to talk a little bit about the impact of yesterday's horrific shootings at the Washington Navy Yard and give his insights on the latest between the United States, Russia, and Syria. And General, it's always good to have you with us.
I am really glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. Let's start briefly with what happened on Monday at the Navy Yard, and obviously a lot of questions being asked about how someone with a mental illness could get security clearance, security at the gates, and that sort of thing. Some people are talking about the fact that military personnel are not allowed to be armed on military installations. What's your sense on what happened yesterday and what the smart ways to address this are?
Well, first of all, obviously it was a tragedy, and I'm, I grieve with, those that were involved in this and with all America. So it was a tragedy. I think the second thing, though, is that, this security clearance process, it is very difficult to get a security clearance in most cases. But in this case, clearly his emotional problems, his mental illness, as well as his history were not a factor. Now, why was that? Why were those things not considered in granting him a security clearance? You see, it hasn't been that long ago that people like Michelle Bachmann asked that somebody investigate how Huma Abedin, who had a clear connection to the Muslim Brotherhood through her mother, father, brother, and even her own previous employment, and they were just scalded by the media as well as their comrades in Congress for questioning how she could have gotten a security clearance. This is a big problem, and these security clearances need a better process that ensures that we're not getting people with mental illness and people that have criminal backgrounds walking around with a clearance that gives them access not only to information but also in many cases to facilities.
Obviously this horrific event takes place less than 4 years after what happened at Fort Hood. Is more stringent background checks the main thing that needs to happen here, or are there other factors as well?
Well, it's not just the background checks. That's a very important part of it, but it's also employers, to include the federal government, making note of aberrant behavior, making note of mental illness and those types of things when they know that a person has a security clearance. Theoretically, what that should be is a red flag that security clearance should be reviewed and potentially suspended. But we're just not doing that. We're ignoring the obvious. And I must tell you, I think that a lot of it goes to this whole attitude of tolerance, and we're taking it a bit too far here.
We're talking with retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. And, sir, for our next few minutes, let's take a look at what's gone on in Syria. Obviously, there was the diplomatic deal over the weekend in Geneva, Secretary of State John Kerry, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, coming to an agreement that would force Bashar Assad to declare his weapons within a week's time, which I guess is coming up within the next couple days here, and then to the middle of next year to destroy them. We've already seen reports that those weapons could be headed to Hezbollah in Lebanon, across the border to Iraq, possibly onto Russian ships in nearby waters. What's your sense on what we're likely to hear from Assad and whether you think this deal is going to accomplish anything close to what we hope it does?
To answer your last question first, no, it's not going to accomplish what we hope. First, it is important to understand that Bashar al-Assad is an Alawite. He stays in power. The Alawites are only 10% of the population. He stays in power because he has chemical weapons. I can assure you he's not going to give them up. The Alawites are rejected by both the Sunnis and the Shias, and it was Bashar al-Assad's father, Hafez al-Assad, who in 1974 actually paid a Shia cleric from Lebanon to make a legal declaration aligning the Alawites with the Shias. Now, that imam that did that actually disappeared and has never been seen again. So I think it's safe to say he was killed by the Shias, probably. But that said, he stays in power because he has chemical weapons. He is not going to give those up. It is nonsense. 1,000 tons of chemical weapons, and you think his inventory is going to be accurate? You think he's really going to turn those over? You think he's going to disassemble his production facilities that would allow him to make more? That is not going to happen, because when he loses his chemical weapons, he has no ability to stay in power there. This is a farce.
Secretary of State Kerry says if there is noncompliance, the threat of force remains. Do you believe that's a genuine threat, or is this administration just glad it doesn't have to make good on the threat it had before?
I put about as much credibility in that as I did the threat of a red line. You know, if the president had been serious at the moment that he made that, he would have had the Department of Defense going into some targeting and strategic planning, so that if a red line was crossed, he could have acted swiftly. He did not. Now, I'm not advocating for any kind of military strike in there. I think it's the worst thing we could do. But when that was issued, he should have had all preparations made so that if it was crossed, he could pull the trigger on that. So I don't see much credibility in this. I think that this is an administration, frankly, that has gotten itself in over its head and is looking for any way out right now. And the Russians, as well as the U.S. Congress, have given the president a way out.
One of the other things that's certainly making the rounds on internet blogs and other sources today is the president's apparent decision to reverse standing U.S. policy and essentially arm what these folks, of course, call terrorist groups. He would call them the rebellion. What do we know about to what extent they're being armed by us, and what do you make of that decision?
Listen, what does it take for us to learn a lesson? We armed and equipped the rebels in Libya, and they came right back a year ago on the 11th of September and killed four of our diplomats. That's the same people we armed in case the administration hadn't figured it out yet. What we're doing by arming these people is we're contributing to the genocide of the Christian community. They are right now, as we speak, they are killing Christians in there. That's exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood did in Egypt once the Muslim Brotherhood took over. They started killing Christians and burning churches. And that's all we're doing, is contributing to Christian genocide in Syria by arming and equipping these people. As bad as he is, Bashar al-Assad has allowed the Christians there to live in peace. And what these people are determined to do is to destroy every Christian village, kill as many Christians as they can, and run the rest of them out of the country.
So why do you think he is backing them, and why do you think he's got support on the other side of the aisle from the likes of John McCain, Lindsey Graham?
Look, you don't ask me to explain John McCain and Lindsey Graham. There are a lot of things that they do and say that I cannot figure out. And I don't know what the president's agenda is here. I think what the president's agenda is, I think he was, first of all, highly offended by the fact that Bashar al-Assad did not respond to his red line threat and use chemical weapons anyhow. And I think he's very offended by that. It was an affront to his authority as the president of the most powerful nation. And I think that some of this is a reaction to that. Now, on the other hand, there are many good, fine Americans who believe that we should be supporting these rebels. All I would say was that these Americans have not looked at who the rebels are, at the composition of these rebel forces, and then given any consideration to what's the long-term effects of allowing them to take over in Syria.
General, we'll leave it there for now. As always, sir, we thank you very much for your time with us.
Good being with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. He spent 36 years in uniform in the U.S. Army for our country, served a lot with Special Forces, commanded the Green Berets, original member of the Delta Force, also a former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.